singing in the background, but I doubt if it's
tuned into the next to Flex podcast. Streets talking about.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Welcome to Next Flex podcast. Our next episode, we're going to talk some college basketball, a little bit of NBA, some football. Let's get it started. DMVD, nice. Let's go around the round table. Introduce yourself. Starting with you, J.O. Start from the top.
This is J.O. Also from the Talk Your Shit podcast. Also the lifeblood of this podcast. And I'm here to talk sports with my guys. So let's go.
Yo, this is B-Zell. I'm here again with the fellas. One of my favorite times of the week. Ready to talk a little sports while I work this tech. Let's go.
Let's go. Keep them going around. Oh, that's on you.
Hey, what's up? It's O, ready here to talk sports. Let's go.
Yo, what up, what up, what up? It's Sean, a.k.a. personal special guest, a.k.a. PSG. Look here, next to Flex, Slick, let's talk sports. Let's go.
You've been working on that shit. That shit.
I know, right?
Damn. That was all the fly.
Clean. He's rehearsing.
Who's that? My man got a 7-minute drill, huh? Well, this kid with a V, not a B, so what up? Let's go.
that was off the fly. No lie.
Off the top. All right.
Kevin wrote his down. Kevin wrote his down.
Boom.
I don't care what y'all say. That was too much. Kevin.
Yeah, notepad right here.
He's in the bathroom in the mirror.
You did like intro already, Kev? You did yours?
Yeah, I'm done. I did it.
All right, you're done. All right, let's get started. Let's talk about this championship, NCAA championship. We had the men and women. Like the women outdrew the women, the men 18.9 million to 14 million. Let's start off with the women. Give me y'all,
what'd you say?
Y'all, what? The women had 18.9 million viewers, and the men had 14.8 million viewers.
Yeah, that much. The men,
women crushed it, they crushed it this year. So, give me y'all takes. Give me y'all takes on the championship. How y'all like the women's joint first? Give me your opinion on that joint. Go ahead, jump in. I'm scared.
Well, I want to say I think the ratings are also affected by the times too. They came on Sunday afternoon when that was on. May came on.
You're right about that.
They still drew record crowds. But I'm just saying the men came on at like 9:20, like. That show late for a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? But
that's the best prime time. That's late. That's only late for us. That's perfect for the West Coast.
Yeah. That's true.
And they've been doing it for so long. You know, why change up?
You got to flip there, man.
Who, me?
The men had a better time. The men had a better time than the women.
Well, so no, viewership? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, the men was on Sundays. Prime time.
Women's on prime, but Sunday, but most people out and about on Sunday afternoon. So you're right. Most people at home, you know, watching TV at night. So
men were on prime time.
Men had a better time. Yeah.
Yeah, but the viewers,
Friday, the women had more intrigue.
Friday and
the viewership was up for the women though.
That's because of the game, the players. Yeah, it wasn't because of the time. It was because of the intrigue of the game.
Who
watched the game? Who watched it?
You can agree to disagree on that one. Sunday, everybody, I don't believe everybody out on a Sunday afternoon. I don't believe everybody out on a Sunday afternoon.
Slot, yo.
I just don't believe everybody. Can I finish? I just don't believe everybody out on a Sunday afternoon when work is Monday. I just don't believe that. Everybody just be out there.
It got nothing to do with being out on Sunday. Yo.
I mean, sitting there watching TV. I'm confused.
The men played in a prime time spot. That's when people home watching TV.
That ain't prime time for the East Coast.
Hey.
It is when you combine the whole country. 9:20, okay. That's a Monday night football. They all start. That's prime time.
Okay.
That's prime time.
I understand. I got you.
Because the West Coast, that's 3 hours back.
I just don't think it's necessarily a better time. That's a. I just don't know.
Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the
right.
Let's talk. Go ahead, Sean. We'll talk about the game.
Let me talk about the game. I actually watched the game, and it was intriguing all the way through for me. Of course, South Carolina done what they were supposed to do, and congrats to Dawn Staley. Shout out to Caitlin and the Iowa farm man, farm women. and they they represented.
Yeah, they balled out. It was a good game though.
But they just didn't, have enough juice in the tank to take out South Carolina. But I enjoyed it.
Exactly.
They had the depth to mess all those five stars, They did their best though. It was evident, like Joe even said, like Caitlin had like 18 in the first half, and they were still like down at halftime. Like, at that point, you're in trouble because she can't score 72 points. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
it was fascinating to watch, though. It was interesting, but Iowa, like, from the first 10 minutes, didn't have a shot, at least to me. It didn't look that way.
Yeah, South Carolina just got a better team. Like, it's just a better team. Caitlin Clark is amazing, but they just had a better team. And that 9 times out of 10, that's what happens. A better team. If you just have that individual, a better team is going, That's what happened. Well, I ain't gonna get to that, but okay.
Yeah. What about you, O? You got something right
out? Yeah, I mean, South Carolina with that size, it was nothing Iowa could really do with Caruso. What's her name in the middle?
Carduzo?
Cardoza.
Cardoza,
yeah.
There was nothing they could do with her. I mean, I think Iowa's tallest girl, 6'1".
For real?
6'7".
That's it. Yeah, that's a big difference.
She called the girl in the middle, though, right? What's her name? Sadiq? What's her name?
I can't tell.
Yeah.
Who are we talking
about?
She's 6'1", yo.
Yeah, she's 6'1"? Okay.
Yeah.
I think the girl from South Carolina said she's coming out, right?
Yeah, she's in the first pick, but I mean.
Yeah, she said she's coming out there.
All right. Yeah. So about before we go to the men's side, what do you think about Diana Taurasi? Basically, saying that she playing with 18-year-olds. Wait till she get in the league playing with some grown professional women.
I love it. I love it.
She was talking about Caitlin Clark, right?
Yeah, I love it.
She played on Caitlin. Yeah.
Taurasi, an old dog, man. Like, I love it.
Yeah. She definitely.
For me, she if Taurasi's the GOAT for real. I mean, she won three championships. I mean, I dominate WNBA. She has a right to talk.
I never take that away from her. Her Mercury years.
I actually was talking to somebody the other day about, I think Caitlin Clark's game is going to change a little bit. Like, I'm not sure she's going to be logo shooting and I think they're going to ramp in a little bit in the WNBA, but I think she's going to be more of a, I guess you could call it a traditional point guard. She can pass.
I mean, she can play regardless. I mean, she can adapt, but if you can shoot, you're going to always hit those shots. I mean, I think that's going to change, to be honest.
She gonna be the number one pick. That's gonna be who people gonna come to see. I mean,
right.
If honestly, yo, if I'm Caitlin Clark and I do hear a lot of feedback. Is that right?
Me but, too.
If I'm Caitlin Clark,
somebody agent phone on or a speaker or something.
I think she's muted mic. There you go.
Yeah, that's what that was. It's a newcomer.
Oh, well, what I was saying was
don't start. I will cut your ass up.
See,
it's easy to talk that shit when it's not live and you don't have to respond and be direct. I will cut your big ass up. You got the right one today.
Get it.
You was talking a lot of shit last week. You had a lot of bitches you was throwing around, right? Which is probably like your traditional vernacular. I'm here today. Watch yourself. Wait, what are you talking about? Big boy, he used the word bitch like 4 times in like 5 minutes the last show.
Damn.
Like, but all of a sudden, he got real comfortable. And the word bitches start, when y'all start talking about money, he got real, like, he got real tight, rubbing his feelings about it.
As soon as y'all start talking about money, he's talking about this segment. It was eight bitches in five minutes. We're talking about this tonight. Why are we? What's going on here?
All right, move forward. I see you coming. You already doing it.
He asked about the echo. I said it was you. That's when we heard the echo when you came on.
So you gonna say that even now your response was just that? Oh, it was just me. Like that was the end of that. It wasn't like you starting off taking shots.
You was already here. What are you?
This is exactly the stance you took last week. This is what you do. You be like, "That's not what I said. That's not what I did." It'd be exactly what you said.
Oh my Lord, have mercy.
Why are we doing this?
All right, let's keep this thing on track. Let's get this train back on the track.
Keep it on track.
Let's move on to the men's championship.
I know.
The rhythm got messed up. Go ahead. Oh, finish it up. If you want to finish up,
man. Go ahead, man. Fuck it.
Adapt with your old ass.
All right.
Yo, man.
All right, let's go on to the men's championship, man. All right, Purdue, they hung tough, but you know, big boy played well, Edie, but it wasn't enough for UConn, man. What's y'all take on that championship?
He did his best, but I don't know if he played well. I mean, he
was dominating early. He was dominating early.
But that's it, though.
He had like 14 points in like 6-8 minutes or something.
Right,
like that.
But
he got tired. I mean, he played
the whole game. Plan. They was gonna run him. They were gonna run.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What they did. Yeah.
And that whole team concept UConn came with. They was killing them on the boards, man. They was everywhere. Yeah.
They said, okay, you are gonna get yours. And we're gonna make sure we cover your 3-point shooters.
We talked about that, about what the strategy. And I'm fine with Edie getting his. It's the 3-pointers get off. Like that's the difference.
Exactly. Yeah, and like I said, they got a big boy themselves that he did enough to bother Edie, especially as the game went on. He started really bothering him and frustrating him. And I knew they could. So at that point, like you said, you could leave him 1-on-1. And just, you know what I'm saying, cover the 3-point shooters or whatever. Like, that was a good strategy. That was the only people that could do that, though, pretty much.
That's true.
That dude, 7-2. Edie, 7-4.
Right, and I know he also was the best interior defender in the nation this year, right? I heard him say that during the game. Like, the dude from Connecticut was rated, like, the best interior defender. Like, best.
Oh, the center? Yeah. He was
there for UConn,
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
They
had the right tools.
I mean, he was 7-1.
He's 7-1. Yeah, he's 7-1. Yeah, 7-1, 7-2. Yeah, he played well.
7-1, 7-2. I mean,
the dude for Connecticut.
Yeah. UConn.
Yeah, he's 7-2.
Klingman, that's it. He looked quicker too. He looked quicker. He can move a little bit.
He was definitely better athletically than he definitely.
Edie a little slow for a little bit.
Edie finished with like 37 points.
Oh, no, Edie balled out. No. Yeah, he balled out. I don't get that much.
Edie had 37 points.
He definitely had 37 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy.
He had a good game.
So whoever said that he didn't play well when the only other person the only other person who scored in double digits on that team, I think, was that boy Smith, and he only scored like 10 or 12. Edie scored 37. So if he didn't play well, then that entire team was ass.
Okay, well, you called it. You absolutely called it. By saying not playing well, he got the points he's supposed to get, but he didn't do anything special. He got the ball down low.
37 points is not special in a college game where they only score 60?
Yeah, I said that.
Sound dumb.
That's exactly what I said. Yes.
That sounds crazy.
He got what he's supposed to get. He's 7-4 right by the rim. Yeah, exactly what he's supposed to get. He didn't do anything else on defense. He didn't do anything to change the game. He got
What's Wimby's average this year, and he appears very special to the league?
Wemby's averaging what? I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
you can't compare him to Wemby.
And cheese steaks.
Why is he not comparable to Wemby when they're the same height?
So his name is not the same as somebody else.
Nowhere near the athlete.
What are you saying?
Nowhere near the athlete.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the athlete.
No, he's nowhere near the athlete. But to say 37 points, like, and he didn't play well. When nobody else in that game scored over 12.
He didn't play
and
well.
Nobody on UConn scored over 20.
By what standard are we saying he didn't play well?
Say that.
If I could try to get it out, I would definitely say it. Edie did not play well. I said it 2 seconds ago. He scored what he was supposed to score. He had 1-on-1 every time. He's 7-4. He didn't do anything special to change the game.
You think that that outlines why he didn't play well? Just repeating that he didn't play well and saying that he didn't do what he was supposed to do?
You didn't hear me the first time.
What are the statistics by which you're judging he didn't play well? Why didn't he play well?
He didn't change the game. It's called the eye test. When you watch a game, you can tell who's doing something and who's not. So if you watch the box score, then you say, oh, 37 points, he played amazing. You watch the game, play by play, you see that he didn't change the game.
So you don't have any real rationale then? It's just he didn't pass your eye test.
Yeah, it's not for me. How about you?
Okay.
Well, they lost by 15, so he didn't do much.
Right. So what's your rationale besides the points?
Nobody else on that team scored over 12 points, and only five players scored on the entire team.
It won by
only five people scored. Only if only five or six guys score in the whole team, and one nigga scored 37. All right. Okay.
Well, let me say this.
No, they did not play well. He did not play well because he didn't pass your eye test.
We were talking about Edie. We're not talking about Purdue.
I understand that. What I'm saying is,
let me say
when I asked you why he didn't play well, you said he didn't pass the eye test. He didn't make an impact on the game. But why, though? Because those are very general statements that don't really mean anything.
Okay, so explain to me, why do you think he played well now? Since your statistics, tell me why he played well.
I think 37 points when really nobody else on the team scored says something about him.
But he got the ball every single time.
So you're saying that I'm following statistics alone and that's not enough to say a player played well.
What are you supposed to do then? He gets the ball every single time. He's supposed to score.
If I can interject, go ahead.
To say what you got to say, man.
Holy shit. All right. Let me just say that, I mean, he played well. 36 points is good. I don't care what the fuck you say. 36 points. Yeah, 37 is great. You know what I mean? The problem with Purdue was their guards play like shit. They didn't play no D. Purdue tried some type of full court press second half. UConn killed it easy. Their guards turned the ball over a lot. He had no help at all, man. I mean, 36 out of the post, man. I think he did his job. You know what I mean?
37 and 10, a nigga did his job. And you telling me that he didn't pass your eye test when nobody else on that team. Five niggas scored on that entire team, and only one other player scored in the double digits. Dude, the rest of those guys had 2 or 4 points.
What you think, Josie? Let's get somebody else away.
I think they did exactly what they wanted to do. Connecticut did exactly what they wanted to do. They knew that the game was going. I said it before. I said it the other night. Purdue ain't gonna win unless their guards play well. I don't give a fuck what he does. It doesn't matter because they needed the team. Connecticut had a team. They beat them. They beat them by 15. Edie had 37. They still beat them by 15. Edie played pretty well. He got frustrated in the middle of the game. Couldn't do much or nothing. He did something in the early first, and late. But by then, it was pretty much over. So, I mean, you know, 37 points is a really good stat line. It is. But he got frustrated in the middle of the game. And I think that's what Kevin's talking about. In the middle of the game, he got frustrated. He missed his shots. He fouling. He did a lot of stuff in the middle of that game that was not great to look at, especially as a guy that's supposed to be dominating the game. So I get where he's coming from, but 37 points is not nothing to, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
It was just crazy when he did 45 games.
Their game plan went well. They knew their guards had to shoot and hit threes. Like I said in the first, he had 15, 14 points or 20 or something like that, and they still was down by 2 or 3. He had to score 60 for them to win. And I knew that in the first half, but you know,
my whole thing is to say that Edie didn't play well doesn't feel fair. To say that Purdue did not play well, absolutely, they were terrible as a team. And it takes teams to win championships. A great player might get you through a playoff, a tournament. Historically, that's always been the case. Teams that get to a certain level have a superstar on that team. But you need a team to win a championship. No individual player has ever done it. Not on any, nowhere. Nowhere in basketball has one man been able to win a chip. So I think that Edie played well as he could. But if the rest of your team scoring 2 and 4 points, what you supposed to do?
Okay, you right.
Yeah, go ahead, B. Go ahead, B.
Here's the thing. First of all, it was a big size differential on that. The guards were way smaller than UConn guard.
That's true.
And the thing was, they had a plan to run Edie the whole game and get him tired, outgas him running. And they even said something. They doing something totally different than what Purdue used to. Purdue wanted to slow that game down. UConn was like, nah, we're not going to slow it down. They just kept running. And in the beginning, it was like, yo, they were scratching their head like, wait a minute, this might not be working because these boys hanging with them. But they stayed the course. They didn't change up on how they were guarding Edie. They still played them straight up, and they guarded the guards. They played them straight up. So he had a great game. To me, he had a good game. I just think, like, the guys, they were overwhelmed by the big guard play. They were overwhelmed by the size of UConn, and it finally just bit down on them. You know what I mean?
Which is just a good game plan. That's great coaching. That's great game plan. But to say that he individually did not have a good game, I just don't feel like it's fair. Caitlin Clark had some tough moments in that game, too. Overall, she still did well. It's not going to hurt the draft prospects at all. But I just think that, like, to say that an individual player is the responsible party, when in reality, if you look at everybody else on that team, they were terrible that night overall, just doesn't feel fair.
Well, overall, champs did well. I mean, they did what they did.
No question.
It was business, and they did back-to-back champs. You know, we ain't seen that in a few years. So congrats.
Like Kevin said, he made a point with all new players, right? Most of them.
Not all new players, but a bunch of new players. Yeah, definitely.
They top scorers left. Their top scorers left, right?
They lost 5 of their top 8 scorers.
Yeah,
that's a big change. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of similar to South Carolina. South Carolina had a big change too.
Not all of them, just a bunch of them. hey, look, but this is what I like though. Hey, let me say something. Let me get in here real quick. So, when my man Burns lost the Final Four, you know, and he went to the podium, man. I like how he, you know, he said, we just didn't get it done. We ain't play, he ain't play that victim role. Start crying and talking about how everybody picking on him, you know? And you know what else? And you know what else? After the game, when they interviewed Edie was like, yeah, he a good guy. You know, they could battle like that. And you know what I mean?
He's the big man love, yeah.
He's playing victim after that, yo.
You about to get to
appreciate that.
You can't. It was different from what LSU, you know. It was different from what
was different. What's different?
A little different.
What's different?
Went through stuff from last year. But it's way different from last. She went through stuff from last year on and battled.
What she go through?
Just the notoriety. I mean, the dude from North Carolina State. I mean, he just getting popular from this year. I mean, you know, she
Hey. They making fun of him on TikTok and everything, from how fat he is and everything. They making fun of him too. He ain't playing victim when he lose, crying and shit.
I'm sorry. Are they also talking about how they'd like to rape him, or how they'd like to murder him or his family, or talking about how him in trunks makes him a slut and a whore and never deserves to get married? How their children should be murdered? Are they saying that about him too? Because that's what they're saying about Angel. It's quiet over there now, right?
I bet so, and I bet he ain't putting himself out there wearing bikinis online and being ratchet
so
and saying all that crazy shit.
So if a 5-year-old is in like a 2-piece, that's her sexualizing herself. Sexualizing is you taking a person's 5-year-old outfit
in a 2-piece.
They have those for children. But the point is to sexualize a person means it's the same as saying that a woman in a certain outfit deserves to be raped, that she asked for that. That's the point that Angel is trying to make. I think like what men don't understand, because I think that there's like a natural block that occurs, is that no matter what outfit a woman has on, she doesn't deserve to become the object of your sexual desire. That is what sexualizing means. No matter what she wears, she does not deserve to be the object of your sexual desire. And that totally should not change if you put that in a 2-piece. And turning that into raping and murdering her is weird.
You can't control what people say to you.
You can't control that, but it's a problem though. because you shouldn't have to. If you're in Sports Illustrated, women have been doing that for 50 years. Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition, has been around for years, and never has swimsuit there been edition? This extreme problem. The swimsuit, obviously, swimsuit edition. Obviously I'm exaggerating the numbers, but the point is that it's been around for like 20 editions? Years. It's been,
you know how many swimsuit editions I had hidden?
But, thank you, Wayne.
That's the purpose of that magazine, though. It's a sexualized athlete, so I don't quite understand that reference. Like, that's the purpose.
I don't agree with that at all. And you seeing it like that is kind of strange. Sexualizing somebody versus showing your body, that doesn't mean that you're sexualized. If that's the case, then every woman that goes to a beach should be sexualized. That's ridiculous.
Well, hold on. Back to the swimsuit edition.
It's the same thing. If you're saying that every woman in Sports Illustrated in the swimsuit edition is being sexualized, then every woman that goes to a beach should be too.
What's the purpose of the swimsuit edition? Like, explain that to me. What's the purpose of it?
It's definitely selling sex.
It's just promotion. For whatever she's promoting
sex.
The women who feature in that magazine are promoting lots of different things. There are film stars in it. There are swimsuit models in it. There are athletes in it. Yes, there are.
No, it's not.
Best of money.
It's celebrating the body. It's about the body.
It's a body. It's about the body.
Showing your body. It's about the
body.
What, she hung up?
Not that you lost connection.
Let's get back in next.
Yeah, that was easier than I thought, right. Yo. What's the next topic, yo?
All right. Let's go on. Let's change it. Let's change to some NFL talk. We got draft coming up in a couple weeks. You know, we got a lot of rumors who's gonna be, you know, who's moving up, who's dropping down. What do y'all think should move up in the draft to take some top picks and why?
She lost connection, man. She ain't hang up.
She's coming back.
Oh shit, yo.
Go ahead, Josie. But anyway,
yo, please, man. Bezo, please.
Minnesota.
You gotta talk about that shit.
Minnesota. Hello?
My bad, Josie.
I think Minnesota. It's cool. I think the writing was on the wall when Minnesota got that second first pick.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's the. I don't know. Now I think people might react off of Minnesota. Like who's below them? Denver, and the Raiders or whoever. They might react off of Minnesota doing that and maybe try to trade up. But
yeah, right Denver's now, right behind. Like, yeah, Denver, right now, Raiders and the Saints.
Yeah, then so right now, all I can see right now, like probably 95% Minnesota trading up to try and get that top five to get one of the quarterbacks. That's the only thing I see right now. But it's gonna be some more. I just don't see.
There's gonna be some movement for sure.
But it's definitely Minnesota.
It's that Chargers pick, man. It's that Chargers pick is gonna be traded like by somebody.
Exactly.
Either Raiders, yeah. Either Minnesota, but someone's gonna jump in that Chargers pick.
Is New England going to trade number three though?
Yeah, New England said they still not they're not closed off the trade in that pick.
Right. They're a little shaky off on that.
But they need a quarterback. I guess you can get a quarterback too. There's enough in there.
Arizona's number four.
They got a quarterback, bro. I thought he'd be gone, but he's still there.
I can see Arizona dropping back. I can see them dropping down and giving them the pick.
They got the first and a 27th pick.
That's true, but
Arizona, Marvin Harrison's locked in. They got the first and the 27.
To me, they need another receiver star. Like they don't have anybody for Kyler right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I doubt they trade back, but I mean anything's possible. But I doubt they trade back. I think the first opportunity to trade is gonna be the Chargers pick at number five. Minnesota, Raiders, Denver, all those gonna be vying for that pick.
Well, I heard that Arizona, if they can stay in the top 10. And still get another receiver,
neighbors
like Rome,
or something like that. Yeah,
Rome. Yeah, Rome or neighbors or something like that.
Your neighbors.
They might do that, but they're not trading outside the top 10. They're not trading to Minnesota. They're not trading.
Yeah,
to
they ain't
Denver.
Trying to drop out there.
They're not trying to drop out that top 10.
So it's neighbors, Harrison, and Odunze. So three. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Dang. I mean, the top 10, yeah, everybody basically needs something. I mean, shoot, look at Tennessee.
When you top 10, you always going to need something. That's why you top 10. Exactly.
Wow. But trading out, like, who really outside of the Chargers, who really want to give up anything?
Atlanta could go down. They got seven, yeah. Right?
Atlanta's at eight.
Atlanta's at eight.
They can go down. The Bears are
trade down from nine. They definitely don't try to trade down.
Yeah, Bears at nine.
That ain't Brock Bowers to the Bears, number nine.
And the Jets number 10.
Yeah, well, the Jets will probably trade up. I mean, they need some help.
Ain't no suitors there, but the prize is the quarterbacks. I don't see
is Aaron Rodgers coming back this year. Did he guarantee he's coming back this year?
Yeah, he can come back. He's done. He's doing his 2 years. Nope. He's done after this year. He do one more year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who really could move around.
I think Minnesota gonna move up. I think them are gonna try hard. I know the Raiders are gonna try hard. I don't know if they're gonna actually get there, but I think the Raiders are gonna try. I just think the people at that point, they only have this year's first. That's why I think Minnesota is so attractive. They got two first rounds this year. Mm-hmm. And people want to see that immediate return, at least some of that immediate return.
Yeah.
What does Tennessee need? Because they got the seventh pick. So they can move.
They need
everything, especially getting rid of Derrick Henry.
They may stick with a quarterback.
They're gonna stick with him.
Again, it's still a new coach. I mean,
Will Levis. They're gonna stick with him for a second. They're not gonna try this yet, but they're definitely gonna.
They need O line. They need protection.
Yeah, they got receivers. They do need linemen. They need another running back, but they can get that later though.
Yeah, well, they picked up Pollard and the rookie they drafted last year.
Yeah, they need another running back.
Decent.
Spears, Tyler Spears.
They need another running back.
He can play. Exactly.
Yeah, they need another running back. But I think you ain't say no names to me that's gonna help them.
They're not gonna have that same ground and pound offense.
Right. It's a whole different scheme.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe if they combine for. 1,200 yards to them, and they get some receiver stuff from them. They'll be all right.
I mean, they got Ridley. Man, they picked up some weapons.
You have no idea what the coaching staff going to do, man. They may run a run and shoot, man. You don't even know. Yeah.
And they go, because they can't run ground and pound.
We'll be out there slanging, they're
going to run the A-11. Remember that offense?
Damn, dude. It's done with the wing team.
Exactly. All right. Well, we'll see what's gonna happen, man. Gonna be interesting. Wait, before we get off the NFL talk, we all gonna watch the draft at anyway. Where's the spot to watch the draft? Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Who hosting?
Everybody I'm busy that day.
It's Thursday night.
It's your birthday. Thursday, my son's birthday.
Oh, that's right. That's your birthday weekend. Okay, that's right.
Thursday, my son's birthday, so we might go.
Yeah, Friday, I'm going to be drunk somewhere. I'm gonna get text from y'all about who we drafted.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to get text. Well, I don't even know if I'm going to get text. I had to check in somewhere.
You can get that WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah. I got WhatsApp. Yeah, I see. I see that. What you gonna do?
We'll figure it out.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna be in the studio. Some drive, though. I'm be the studio.
Okay. Bet.
Me too.
Studio. Draft party.
Fucked up. Getting fucked up.
Yeah. Draft party in the studio. All right. That's a bet.
Because it's boring. It's boring as shit.
Pretty much.
After the first round. Yeah.
After the first round, exactly. Exactly.
When you the whole thing is round. Boring. Because the whole thing is boring.
Yeah, just take a long fucking time. But I watch it. It is boring.
Where is it this year? Like, where's it going to be at? Like, where's the draft this year?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
I forgot.
I mean, last year was Memphis.
Is it Chicago? Is it Chicago? Let me see.
Michigan, maybe?
That might be.
It is Michigan.
Maybe.
I literally can't even recall where that. Damn, that's crazy. I guess. That is kind of sad. Yeah. Huh? It's in Michigan?
Well,
I don't know.
Where is it, Sam?
I think Darius is checking.
I'm trying to check. Where is it at? I'm taking too long, man. Y'all find it.
No, man.
Oh, yeah, it is in Detroit. Yeah, Detroit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Motor City.
Motor City. I'll be there this summer. All right, wow. Let's move on topics.
Family,
oh, no. Family reunion. Okay. The wife's side.
Sorry to hear that.
Hey, Motown coming back up. They're making a comeback.
No, it ain't.
It is not. Nobody coming to see you, Otis.
Don't drink no water out there.
Oh, and Flint, right?
Very it's gotten better. All right, let's go on some NBA talk.
I got relatives. All right. Hey, look, y'all, that ain't got nothing to do with me.
Let's talk some Wizards talk, man. The Wizards actually plan pretty well into the year. I mean, they obviously got some promise, you know, going into next year. I mean, we'll see if they get top three pick. But
they pretty much guaranteed.
What y'all want to see happen in the offseason for the Wizards this year, man? They're looking like a team with this new coach, a lot better than before. You know, with previous coach. Who y'all taking the Wizards, man? I don't even know who he is. He was assistant. They promoted him. They playing well under him though.
They didn't want to fire Unseld, so they moved him up to the front office.
Yeah, that's right. They probably gonna get a new coach.
We need a new coach.
But they're playing hard.
We don't need a Joe Mazzulla. We need an MA.
This dude, his name Brian Keith. He's an old school dude. I mean, he's coached at a lot of places, so he's been around.
Okay. Yeah,
he's one of them in your face, no nonsense dudes. He call everybody up for what they do.
So that's gonna last for a year, and then
accountability.
That's probably what they needed though, right now. I mean,
they may keep him. Who knows? It's not time to get the coach yet, so they may keep him.
Yeah,
I feel like I say this all the time, but it's a great opportunity to call Mark Jackson. Mm. I don't see why not.
Mark Jackson?
Mark ain't coming here, though.
I don't see why not.
Mark Jackson,
young team.
I don't know.
Yeah, he ain't coming.
I think he would take any job at this point. He's talked a lot about his desire to come back into the NBA as a coach and how he hasn't gotten the opportunity. I think he would take it just to prove what his skill set is. I think he might.
That'd be interesting. I mean,
I think that's what you like. That's really what we could use, like a coach who like really kind of specializes in like rebuilding a team specifically through the draft with young players.
With Poole, Kuzma, and Kispert.
Nah, Poole ain't gonna be here, man.
Poole not gonna be that long.
Nah,
he's gonna be here a long time.
He's terrible. He was a gamble that failed. So he was a failed experiment. I mean, I don't like Kuz either. I'm fine with Kispert, but I don't really love Kuz or Poole.
Kuz could play.
He's so spotty. He's such a bad shooter to be a wing. Like, what the hell? Like. A wing that can't shoot is crazy.
I won't call him a bad shooter.
You won't call him a bad shooter?
What's his percentage this year?
Yeah, before you say that.
Is it above or below 38?
Who's the stats?
I'm guessing
the number one option. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, that boy, he's getting blamed. Obviously, whatever his name is, he balling. He balling right now.
Yeah, for sure. Denny's played well. They picked Denny over Rui.
Denny's playing.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the best long term decision, but I mean he's doing well right now. He had 40 points the other night and three blocks, like two steals. I mean he had a hell of a night.
They said his stats.
But it's only five more games left. So
of course you're gonna ball out.
Nah, he's been playing well this season. I mean.
This season as a whole.
He has stepped up this whole year. You know,
but I mean, he's also the longest tenured player on that team currently. No, so I mean, it's time.
which is crazy,
which is insane. Wow. That the longest tenure player on that team has only been there 5 years, which is disgusting, and also a big part of the problem. They need a vet in that locker room. I don't understand why, like, you won't just bring John back. I know injuries, but I feel like
who
John.
He's the
he averaged 15.7 when he was playing with the Clippers. Like, Reggie Jackson still plays in the NBA. He's only averaging 15.6.
What? No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
John Wall averaged 15 with the Clippers. Hell no.
Yes, when he look
hell
at
hell no.
Bet some money, because you be talking a lot and don't be
checking. I bet some money.
Bet a lot of money on that bullshit. Bet $100 right now.
Yeah, bet $100. John Wall averaged 15 with the Clippers.
And I want my fucking money.
Hells no. Hells no.
Okay, because I've already looked that up. So that's how I know. So what I'm gonna do?
John wants to win a chip. He don't want to come back and just put on a bad team.
He ain't the right vet to bring in a way either.
Exactly. You need some leadership. I don't know if he's the right one. Right lead.
Vet. Why isn't he the right vet though? Why?
John Wall ain't the right vet for the team like that. Because he's not a veteran.
Yeah, look up them stats,
he's still by himself. He's still
soon as the Clippers picked up. Soon as the Clippers picked up John Wall, they asked Kawhi. He's been playing for like 2 months.
They
asked Kawhi what they need. He said, we need a point guard.
He averaged 11.4.
11.5.2.
In 30 games. Yeah.
In 2.34 games.
My cash app is Coach O 35. What's in that cash app?
She ain't going to do it. You're right. I'm not paying your ass, Thickums.
What'd she say? Oh, she calling names.
Got your legs on
that. Welch on that bet, huh? You gonna welch on that bet?
If you got on pants, I'll pay you.
You gonna welch on that bet?
You got on pants, I'll pay you. Put your camera down. Let me see your legs. That's what I thought.
Getting weird.
Trying to see them calves, bro. But okay, the question was
you all loud and can't pay your bet. That's some bullshit, yo.
Nah, honestly though, like 20 games into the season, he was averaging 15. I ain't checked since then. He only played 34 games. At the 20 game mark, he was averaging 15.
You write down my cash up.
Go ahead, Cam.
She quiet now. Send the cash up. What's going on?
Feel good to finally be right. Huh? Congratulations.
Are you going to do it or what?
Implement a plan and follow it.
Full of shit.
Yeah, I'll pay you $100. If I'll shut you up. I'll pay you $100.
You the one that ain't shut up since you've been on this motherfucker. Wrong.
I've been right about most of it.
No, you ain't right about nothing.
I wasn't right about nothing this whole time.
Send $100.
Put your cash app in the comments then.
Fuck that shit.
Right, we're in the comments.
She ain't gotta pay me, yo. She ain't gotta pay me.
I want to see a follow up plan.
Talking all big, yo.
I've been right most of the time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Darius.
Go ahead, Kev.
I want to say implement a plan and follow it. They haven't done that in a very long time. I thought Unsell was going to be able to do that with, I can't think of the GM name right now, but that seemed kind of discombobulated too. They keep kind of reset. Like they should have tanked last year for Wemby and they didn't. It's like, it's just so many things that it's not doing the common sense, the decision. It's irritating. Like, I don't know what to make of the Wizards. So I want to see a plan set forth. I want to see a plan implemented and just follow it through all the way. Stop changing directions like 2 steps into your 5-step process. Just follow it all the way through, please.
They take
it comes from the top. It comes from Ted. Is Ted the right owner?
Ted's terrible.
Exactly. Is he the right owner?
100 times worse than Poland ever was.
Well, sit back and because this is the first year to rebuild. So,
I'm fine with that. I mean, we sucked for so many years. A couple more years don't matter. Just follow a process, please. Follow something.
Trust the process. Exactly.
What's
stick
the
to
process,
it.
Though?
Have a process.
You gotta have a process to trust your process.
Did it right. They took their time, drafted young players, and just stuck with them. You know, they didn't draft the player and get rid of him 2 years later. Like, they stuck with the players and they built. They built.
Yeah, who's that?
Draft pick, then so what? But just keep building. Like, don't just, like, I don't know. It doesn't appear like they have a firm plan. And I thought, well, what's the white dude's name, man? The GM that came in after Grunfeld. shit.
Oh,
yeah, Kevin Durant, boy. Yeah, I
know. I thought for sure he was gonna have a plan, but again, it just wasn't. It seemed discombobulated. Tommy so, Shepherd. There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, Shepherd.
Yeah, Shepherd. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a plan. It just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. But did they complete it though? Did they get to the end, or that's when they scrapped it? And then like it's been so many levels of disappointment. I can't remember which one I'm talking about.
But Shepherd's regime brought in Denny, right? Obviously, he brought him in, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who brought in CRISPR?
That was also Shepherd, I thought.
That was also Shepherd. I mean, he had a couple picks.
Yeah.
I mean, those are good role players, you know what I'm saying? But who's the star?
They thought Denny was gonna be the star.
But Denny's a core.
It's Bill. Bill's the star. Bill's the star.
They let him go.
Bill's Billy left. Yeah.
Well, you had that was Shepherd. You're paying him too much money. You had to let Bill go.
No, he wasn't playing.
Wasting his career.
He was gonna get hurt. Street clothes. He had to let him go. He was getting hurt too much.
And that problem has continued with the Suns. So it ain't getting no better. Exactly. We got rid of him right on time. Because really, historically, Brad was like most games played in the NBA at one point. And then all of a sudden, it went from like he plays more games than anybody to like not really playing at all. And it's only gotten worse. So we got rid of him right on time.
His injuries, though, to be honest.
After he got his money.
You think that's what it was? Yeah, they say that.
Could be.
I mean, they can say that, but if you the most games played dude for 4 years, 5 years in a row, it affects your body.
Your body gonna break down. Exactly. Yeah.
Same could be said of John, though. He played years hurt.
John.
Once John hurt his Achilles or his knee, he wasn't the same after that. I mean, he tried to come back, but he never developed a mid-range jumper, which he needed.
But yeah, so his game was all about speed. You know, he lost that step. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
I feel bad for him, John McDo, but you know, he lost it.
He's still young. I mean, he's still young. I mean, he's only like in his early 30s, like he still could be playing.
If Chris Paul could be playing, he could be playing. No. But your game gotta change though.
Yeah, definitely. you gotta evolve.
He developed a perimeter shot right before he got to the Clippers. He was shooting like 40%. It's not terrible.
I mean, he got better than he was with Washington, but he wasn't great. No, he was definitely shooting.
Hold on,
what did he do,
40% with the Clippers
in Houston?
40% what?
Well, he didn't play. He was shooting 40%. Like his field goal percentage was around 40% with the Clippers.
So he didn't really play in Houston
because Houston really they were nervous about the injuries. He was just coming off of an injury. They didn't want him to play because they wanted to get rid of him, and they knew that if he got hurt, that they was going to be stuck with him and that big ass contract that he had. So he didn't really play in Houston. He didn't get a chance to show what he had out there.
Okay,
I can agree with that.
They benched him. Like they were he was just coming off an injury. They didn't want him to mess around and get hurt again, which ended up happening with the Clippers anyway. They didn't want to take the chance.
You think he'll get another shot?
No, but he should.
Nah.
I think there's a lot of teams he could play on and be a seventh or eighth man and be productive.
They'll probably send him to the big three.
He ain't gonna do that. He ain't gonna do that. Pride won't let him do that.
Not he don't need to. Yeah, exactly.
He'll retire first.
You'd be surprised.
He ain't retired. I know he is not technically retired.
But
nah, he ain't announced it yet. Exactly.
He would never play in a big three or overseas though, because I think if he was gonna play overseas, he would have did it when Boogie did it.
Yeah. Agree with that.
Need that check.
All right, let's move on to some Josie's joints. Let's go, Josie.
We need a theme song for that, man.
Josie's joints. All right, so I was going over the weekend. And I actually saw this highlight. I saw a Sean Kemp highlight. Highlight Joe, and it was just. I miss Sean Kemp. Let's just say that. And so I got to thinking. I was like, you know, like, nah, no pause. I really do. Like, there's no pause in that. And so I was thinking, like,
all Diddy.
I had a list, but you know, we gonna, in your mind, who you think are the top five end game dunkers in the NBA of all time, like or what you've seen?
Let's do three, man.
My number one,
yeah.
My number one is Vince.
That's fine. Let's do three. Top three.
My number one is Vince.
I mean, that's
okay. Who's two and three?
End game.
Yeah,
we're not putting Bron in it.
If you want,
so who's yours, Josie? You started off, man. That's yours.
Yeah, start off.
Tell us who it is. Tell us who it is.
I ain't got no specific order, but it's Sean Kemp, Michael Jordan, and Vince Carter.
Hey, man, I'm good with that three. I'm good with that three right there, man.
That's a good three.
Yeah, I mean, because we know Jordan when he aged, he was, but when he came out. And I saw Kemp. I just can't. Kemp is just ridiculous.
Kemp is a beast, yeah.
I got a couple that's like maybe less traditional.
Vince Carter jumped over a dude. That's that right there. Like,
Vince Carter, greatest dunker ever, man. He should be in the Hall of Fame just for dunking.
Just for dunking.
Yeah, indeed.
That's my three.
And he got in with Big Shot. They got in this year.
Yeah,
but
Robert Ory is in the Hall of Fame.
But I'm gonna give an honorable mention.
Go ahead, Sean.
Kobe, yeah, and then I'll take Mike, Vince, and number eight Kobe because he was piping on.
I'm gonna throw y'all off with this one.
Oh shit!
I'm gonna throw it off a little bit. I mean, because it's clear what Joey says, correct, but. I'm gonna go with Steve Francis in there.
Oh,
I'm gonna go with
respect that. Okay. Respect
old school Rodney Rogers before he hurt his knee.
Ooh.
And I'm gonna go with. Rodney Rogers is my dude. Wake Forest man, that's my dude. As a young man,
he could dunk.
Before he hurt his knee, he was a high flyer.
But then all of a sudden, he was shooting threes.
Yeah,
he's a big dude.
Dice together.
So, Steve Francis, Rodney Rogers, and
Steve Nash.
Nah, Baron Davis.
Oh man,
Baron Davis. There you go.
I mean,
Baron Davis got some Baron's iconic dunks. Dude. He got a couple. He got like two or three iconic
ones. Yeah, iconic he got some bad ones.
Yeah.
D-Rose is a good one, too. My bad. Someone said
go ahead, man. Go ahead, man.
D-Rose is good.
I agree with everybody that y'all named. And y'all kind of, like, already knocked out, like, the top, like, five or so. I agree with everything y'all said. But I would throw in little known, but, like, somebody we probably don't think of too much anymore. I throw Clyde Drexler. Got, like, the shrug game kind of, like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of threw off, like, how people saw Clyde. But Clyde the Glad, he was special. Yeah.
What did I say to y'all earlier? I said that to y'all, that Clyde the Glad
was special. And that's like one of my brother's best friends. So I've had like a lot of conversations with him. He's a good dude. Okay. So I would say Clyde. Blake Griffin, at his peak, he was special. Yeah. And nobody said Dominique Wilkins yet.
That's true.
I know. That, no one said that. That was my pick right there. Nick was my pick for sure.
Yeah. Definitely.
That two-hand dunk, dunk and just jump off 2 feet.
I like that list too.
Who's yours, Darius?
Yeah, mine was Dominique. Mine was Dominique. Also, nobody also mentions Julius Irvin. I mean, before Jordan, he learned a lot of dunks. He learned from I was young. I look at the old film for that one. Before Jordan, he had some nice dunks back in the day.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll let y'all talk about that. That's before my time.
Darvin Ham,
I told y'all.
Yeah, he was really did a little damage too, though.
Who?
King Martin.
Yeah.
King Martin.
I even think I think Anthony Edwards is coming. I mean, yeah, Anthony Edwards and John Morant.
even Anthony Ball Richardson.
Yeah.
Richardson.
Yeah.
Nobody thought Shaq should be throwing in there.
Yeah, Yeah,
well, not automatic.
He's so big.
He broke his leg.
You know, he was so dominant.
Shaq is discounted. He too tall. Say like, nah.
Yeah.
But nah, Jason Richardson. Yeah, Jason Richardson. He was Jason a bad dude.
Yeah.
You can't forget about him. Yeah, you can't forget about him.
He did some damage.
What about DeAndre Jordan?
Jordan, you got some
I would go Tracy McGrady before I went DeAndre Jordan.
You got Daryl Dawkins. He's the guy.
Daryl Dawkins, Shattered Glass for sure.
Yeah,
Chocolate Thunder. Chocolate
going
Thunder.
Way back. Oh yeah.
he used to have the Your Mama dunk.
No kidding, Scottie Pippen.
I want to say Chocolate Thunder is what they used to call somebody mama in here.
What?
On that note.
Good old Chocolate Thunder, boy. I know who you're talking about. I ain't saying nothing.
All right. Next topic. Let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. All right. So this is an interesting topic right here. We're going to talk a little bit of music. Let me set this up. If you had 3 albums to listen to for 6 months, only 3 out of all that hip-hop albums out there, it could be R&B too. Which one would you listen to and why? It could be R&B. It could be whatever.
I need time to research this, man.
Come on, man. You had these topics for a minute.
6 months.
3 albums.
I mean it today. He said it today.
What's your 3 favorites? What's your 3 favorite? You go over and over.
All time or right now?
You got to listen to it for 6 months. The three joints you just go put in a joint rock with for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. You can mix it up. Mix it up a little bit. Think about it.
Any genre?
Whatever you want.
You know what I'm saying?
The
soundtrack to
Coolie House off
the
Limits, Sean.
Nah,
you can say
that.
What? Lead us off, B. Come on, B. Lead us off, man.
Yeah, you soundtrack to Coolie
House. You feel good with his beard, right? He's like, yeah.
I got you. I got you.
Go ahead. My mama break first.
Right now, I listen to that
Cameo.
I listen to that Victory Lap with Nipsey Hussle. I'll do the ATL in with the Outkast.
That's the motivate.
Yeah. I like that ATL in joint. That album, because it just hit me. It would have been Quim and I, because that was a special time. But I'll do ATL in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's where it gets scary, because I kind of wanted to do R&B, but I'm going to go with you know, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to listen to L Boogie, Lauryn Hill joint, because it was just versatile all over. You know what I mean? Hits after hits after hits. So I can mix that in. There you go. Lauryn Hill, ATLians, and Nipsey Hussle.
That's a good 3. Who about you? Oh, I see you listening. You thinking about something. What you got?
I like that Lauryn Hill pick. I like that.
That's
can't
a good
go
one.
Wrong with Lauryn Hill. Yeah, that's all I got.
You just gonna listen to Lauryn Hill. That's it.
Hey, I want to talk about. Oh, no, go ahead. Y'all go ahead and say y'all. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanna talk about that. J. Cole shit.
I'll jump in. My number one. Reasonable Doubt, I gotta have that.
It
can be duplicates, man, and because any Outkast album I'll throw in there, but I'll throw in ATL as well. And the last one is a Miss Shocker, Jamie Foxx, Unpredictable. Boom.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good one. I like
that album. That's
a dope album.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
I was gonna say Anthony Hamilton, but I just
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Blueprint. I don't know which DMX album, but either Flesh of My Flesh or
It's Dr. Hedda's Hot.
One of them two. And Confessions by Usher.
Okay.
I used to love that, y'all. I ain't gonna lie to you. You love that, y'all.
Oh, the dude said he wanna set the mood.
All right, let me see. I'm gonna do Untouchable, Scarface.
Mm-hmm. Cameo.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
God's Property.
Alberta in the damsels in distress.
So, come on. And for my R&B,
go ahead, get that. Give me that R&B one.
I think. I keep hearing Stevie, but I'm going with what I love.
Go ahead,
and that's Jodeci.
Player. which Jodeci, man? Which Jodeci?
I said Diary of a Mad Band.
Okay. Oh man, I did like Diary of a Mad Band though. I did like that. Hey, but why Jodeci only could sing slow songs? It couldn't sing fast songs. Get on up is the only one that was decent.
Get on up is a Casey and JoJo song, not Jodeci. Yeah,
it's not Jodeci. It's Casey and JoJo.
That's why.
Same thing.
No.
Gotta get on up. Is that Casey and JoJo? Right?
Casey and JoJo.
That was Jodeci.
Sure. That's on Diary of Mad Band. That's on Diary of Mad Band, yo.
Yeah, the only reason I remember it because I've
Sean, you want better $100, Sean?
The whole group was in the video.
I bet you $100, Sean.
Oh man,
I'm pretty sure though.
Yep,
let me look that up.
Yeah,
Lord, Darius, what's up?
I'm trying to find my last song. Go ahead, Mia.
Oh yeah, that was Jodeci. Respect.
Yeah, I'm going Jodeci Forever, My Lady. I felt like it was like almost perfect. Almost perfect. I'm going Stevie Wonder Songs in the Key of Life.
Damn it, I like that too.
And I'm going Kendrick Lamar Section 80.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Doc. I can do that. This
shit was tight. Okay, okay.
I'm trying to find the R&B joint that I like. I can't think of the name of it, but it was the all right. My Yo, top Tank? Two. Nah. It was the joint when I was in college. I used to that joint every day. All right, let's go. Hip hop joint, definitely the Chronic.
What?
Chronic was one of my favorite, man.
Forgot about that.
The Chronic, Aquemini. Yeah.
That was a good time.
Aquemini is definitely
it's my a favorite. Fantastic time in life.
Yeah, man. I was gonna say another hip hop album, definitely do Boo Boo Win. That album was one of my favorite all time. That's like the most relaxed. That's my high music right there from back in the day.
Yes.
But R&B last one. I can't even think of the joint right now, but
H-Town.
Some music soul child, man.
H-Town.
Soul Child. Oh,
that first one.
Yeah. The first joint, the classic joint was my one of my favorite.
That was called Neo Soul.
The Neo Soul.
I actually thought the second one was better with like Half Crazy and Change.
That was good too. That was a fire.
I felt like he was one of the few artists that never hit that sophomore slump. Like I thought that second one was actually a little better. And he had a lot of hits on that album too.
He did.
Exactly.
I love Pre-Ricky.
You seen him
without his sunglasses on though? Music Soul Child. He took
the glasses off on the second album and then he put them back on.
He looked like he hit his head on the third album when he was a kid.
He hit his head on the coffee table.
Oh no.
He got that job right there.
That's what
I heard, man.
I saw it.
Wow.
So you got some real shit bullshit tonight, man.
Real shit or bullshit?
Yeah, I do.
Real shit or real shit?
Yeah, I do, but I was going to say we talk about that J. Cole apology first.
Man. Okay, let's go ahead and get that.
Since we was on hip hop.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, y'all know Cousin Kev from North Carolina, right?
Yes.
You know, he heavy J. Cole guy, right? And he was at the festival where he did his apology, man. He texted me. Yeah, he texted me. He was very disappointed, man. He said he said J. Cole let all of North Carolina. He said he make all of us look like some punks. All of North Carolina. He was upset, man.
To say the least, I guess.
And y'all hear what Suge Knight said? Suge Knight said that J. Cole need to switch to R&B. and if we all had that, he said if we all had that mentality, we'd still be slaves, man.
Kanye say slavery was a choice.
But hey, so Bizzell, you know the whole story on the whole thing? What is it, man? You know the whole story?
I don't know all of it. I just know that it was through songs. You know what I mean? It was a song and he responded. It was probably wasn't it like a Kendrick Lamar?
Oh, you don't know?
No. So Kendrick
So Drake and J. Cole made a song. Oh,
okay.
And they said we the three best with Kendrick. Drake was in the song. Drake and
First person shooter. Everyone's heard it by now. I hope so.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then Kendrick came out and said, fuck the top three. I'm the best.
He said that,
both of them.
Yeah. Can I just jump right quick? So it goes a little further back to that. I mean, remember, like 10, 12 years ago, Kendrick called everybody out. No one responded. So Kendrick been itching for a fight. Yeah, he itching for a fight. And he wants the competition. He wants to prove himself. Because really, I think he's bored.
Yeah,
I think he's bored of rapping. You know, I think he wants the competition. Right. So 10 years ago, he called everybody out. No one said anything. All right. So he been waiting for someone to say his name. Like on a trigger finger for like 10, 12 years, right? So finally, first person shooter comes out, and again, it wasn't this at all. It was very complimentary. J. Cole was like, "Yo, we the top three. Y'all decide who it is, but I feel like I'm Muhammad Ali." So it's like that's fine. Once he said I'm Muhammad Ali, man, he's better. He's the best out of the top three. That set Kendrick off because he been waiting for this. He been itching for it for 12 years, right? So he comes hard as hell, right? And I didn't expect J. Cole to answer, to be honest, because this is not J. Cole's lane.
It took a while.
It didn't take about 4 days, right?
I think it took as long as it did because it wasn't like an individual. No,
it was like 3 months.
No, man.
Kendrick, like that, has been on the charts for 3 weeks. So yeah, it's three months. He just did on Future's album, which came out three weeks ago because he got the number. This is his longest chart and song in the history of his career. It's been three weeks because this is like his longest chart and song in the history of his career or something. So he came out with that again.
I didn't think J. Cole was gonna respond because this isn't J. Cole isn't aimed about this. Like I was really shocked when he responded. Right, I liked it, but I was shocked he responded. So when he apologized,
When
7 Minute Drill came out, I was shocked that J. Cole even put that out because I didn't see him responding to what Kendrick said. I just didn't. It didn't appear to be. In fact, I thought it was AI. I thought someone put it out with AI because one, to me, it didn't sound like a new J. Cole. It sounded like a 2014, 2012 J. Cole. Like, and the fact that he even referenced. He referenced a Jay-Z line from his battle with Nas. I'm like, but Jay-Z lost it. Why would you reference that in your battle with Kendrick? It just didn't make sense to me. So I immediately assumed it was AI, someone was messing around. And then I started seeing articles about it. I'm like, yo, this is a real diss. Okay, well, that's interesting. I didn't expect it, but here we are. But then when Cole got a change of heart, like, yo, this ain't me. Like, I tried it. It's not me. I was fine with that. I respected that. I'm like, I didn't think it was him. I didn't think it was him, man. It didn't feel right.
And we talking about hip hop, man.
And I pray that God align me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that my nigga really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my nigga, I got my chin out. Take your best shot. I'm gonna take that shit on the chin, boy. Do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, all good. Like, it's love. And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive a nigga for like the misstep, and then I can get back to my true path. Cause I ain't gonna lie to y'all, past 2 days felt terrible. Like, it let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say, man, I wanna now perform the song that's a reminder to me of getting back on the right path and getting in tune with God. And the name of the song is called Love Yours. I'm back for y'all right now.
Jake,
and I pray that God align me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that my nigga really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my nigga.
Trash.
Yeah, I thought this was hip hop, man. I thought this was hip hop.
Yeah. Trash.
Here's the essence.
Trash.
Battle, man. Like,
look, J. Cole is letting his verses speak for themselves, y'all. Like, if you like J. Cole's verses, the Bama's tight. He don't need that. I'm sorry. Like, he has a body of work. He has climbed a ladder from being like an up and comer, underrated, to being like one of the top dudes. His career is fine, man. Like, I don't feel by all means me a jumper.
Yeah, see, this is what I think the problem is with Kev and Bizzell. This is what I think y'all problem is, man. Y'all more worried about album sales. Y'all more concerned about album sales and all that shit than the real essence of hip hop, man. Somebody challenge you, you're supposed to battle, man. I know, but the essence of hip hop is about, this is it, man. You battle, see who the best MC.
I didn't say nothing about
you. Because you always sending Billboard rankings and all this shit. Yeah, what I'm talking about is what hip hop is about.
As a business,
man. Let me finish, man. I'm talking about hip hop, man. I ain't talking about sales and white people Billboard top 13 and all. I'm not talking about that shit. Because that's who run that shit, man. The white people decide themselves, man. Not us. We don't decide themselves. You're white wrong. People decide themselves, man. I'm talking about real hip hop. I'm not wrong, man. White people buy more albums than anybody, man.
Go ahead, B, then we get to Mia.
Go ahead, B. What you got to say when we're right over that?
Well, I didn't really speak on the J. Cole thing, but I will come back to you, buddy. At the end of the day, it is about sales. It is about
Hip hop is about making your own music, man.
Wait a minute.
That's the problem with hip hop. First of all,
when me and you was talking, it was talking about music in general. You see what I'm saying? And I was going at on business side of who moved more units. And that has to do with popularity. It has to do But if this man moves more units,
commercial.
I'm just telling you how I feel. You feel what I'm saying? You can speak on how you feel, but I'm telling you, I'm going by numbers, and numbers don't lie. If this man moves more units, his numbers don't lie. It's just what it is. Yeah.
That don't mean you're a better MC.
Hold on. Oh, so BZL, based on that point right there, so moving units makes him a better rapper.
No, I never said that. That's not what he's saying. I think Redman is. No, I was just asking. That ain't nothing I ever said. Yeah.
That's not how it sounded to me.
I know that's how they do. They try to warp the stuff to a day way, but that's not what I said.
I'm asking, are you basing your criteria on sales?
No, that's what I'm asking. Not off of being the greatest rapper or the best rapper or this, that, and the other.
Okay, then that's fine. Then I'm out of that part then.
All right, go ahead, Mia. What you got to say, Mia? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think on the one hand, as a fan of hip hop, and as a historian, my whole thing with J. Cole was like, if this bothered your spirit to this point, you didn't release like one diss track, you put out a whole album. It took time to create that. You didn't do that in a night. So if that was going to be the case and you felt like this was bothering you so much, then in between the time you recorded that, what was it, like 7-song album, 10-song album or something like that, to me, like, he should not have responded at all. Right? Because Drake hasn't said anything yet. So to put that shit out and then to backtrack and say, oh, this hurt my spirit, to me, it was a little childish. And I feel like it's like reflective of some childish behavior on his end. But I will say that a person maintaining their peace at all costs, because they got a life to live outside of this. Not to mention that J. Cole had done an interview like maybe a year or two ago where he talked about the fact that he doesn't intend to do this. And also, like, I've met J. Cole's manager before. He has a very strict plan for how long he wants to do music. He's not one of them artists that want to be doing music well into his 40s. After a certain amount of albums and a certain amount of time, he wants to be done. He got a family. So I feel like a man maintaining his peace at all costs, and if he does something that violates his peace, feeling like, well, I need to take a step back from that. I ain't like that version of myself. I don't want to be that version of myself. I want to go back to being who I am. He has the right to do that. Now, do I think that that aligns with hip-hop necessarily? No. But do I think that he wrong for moving like that? No. I think two things can be true. I think that you can move in a way that's maybe contrary to hip-hop, but that maybe moves better amongst your spirit. Two things can be true. So while I was not a fan of the move, and I thought it would be better for him to just say nothing, to say all that shit and then backpedal, I thought that was a little weird. But he got the right to do that if he want to maintain that type of peace in his life. And his whole thing is, and this is just what he said in the interview, he was like, there's nobody else in the industry or in the world really who relates to me on a peer level more than Drake and more than Kendrick. When this business is over, and for him, it will be soon, he doesn't want that kind of beef with them. He want to be friends with those guys when this is over. And maybe that's about his insecurities or like trauma that he's experiencing in his life or whatever. But when this is over, he's thinking about that those are the only two guys in the world who understand what I go through on a day-to-day basis. And he wants to maintain those relationships. And that to him is more important than the reputation in hip hop. And he's entitled to that. Do I agree with it? No, but he entitled to it.
You must be scared.
Okay. And that was good. But let me say this so I can address this real quick. Sean,
go ahead, man.
You were asking me a question. Omar was asking me a question. You understand? So when y'all both talking, I gotta pick and choose. You feel me? So now when I answered your question, I was done with you. And I get that. I get your frustration, but I was done with you. Now I have to address Omar. You understand what I'm saying? So Omar, what I'm telling you is, if as a businessman, I look at album sales. Now, we had a conversation a few weeks ago when Kevin said something about nobody moving units. Like, who was that? Who did you quote?
I was quoting, the question was about
Pimp Juice and Us.
Yeah, the question was about Nelly and having the hardest time in hip hop or whatever.
Yeah, and because why was he having a hard time? Because of what?
Because there's other people, like he said, Ludacris and. What do you say?
I watched it. Yeah.
So definitely. What I do, what I'm saying to you is basically is like this. In music, no, I think Redman is one of the greatest artists ever. As far as lyricists, I think he's one of the best. I love Redman. You feel me? Now, of course, I like Pac. I like Big. I don't like Pac because he sold more albums than Big. I just like Pac because he resonated more with me. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't because he sold more albums than Big, Omar. Now, I named hits that he had. I said for every hit that Big had, Pac had five. He had five. That's all I was saying.
Put out a lot more music, though. Pac put out like 11 albums in a year or something.
Yeah, he can do it. He can
that's true. Like, that's a real note. Like, before he died, he had 11 albums already done.
So you just said you think Redman one of the best. So
yeah, I do.
I like Redman
better than Tupac, honestly. Though.
Fantastic. Lyricist, he's I think so. I just think Pac, he can make you feel it. He can even talk on the track and make you feel it. As an artist, I resonated with him. You feel what I'm saying? Because he can make you feel it just by talking on the track. He'll come on the track and talk, and you felt that. You feel what I'm saying? So I just felt him. But Redman was one of my greatest, you know. He in my top.
I think J. Cole's scared, man. Because I get what you're saying about relationships, but it's just rapping, man. This ain't 1995 and
you know what, though?
Killing each other and all.
I hear what you're saying about that.
It's just some lyrics, yo. It's just some lyrics. It's fun. They can still be cool and talk to each other and be friends.
I hear what you're saying about that. But Kendrick don't seem to me. Kendrick don't seem to me like the type of nigga you could be honest like that with and still be friends with him. And I think he just don't come off like that to me. He come off like a nigga, if you say something, he gonna hold on to that. So I feel like if you cold and you want to be buddies with the nigga, like, yeah, he just don't seem like the type of nigga to let nothing go. What? Ain't nobody talked about this nigga in 5 years, and all of a sudden you say we the big three, and the nigga, oh my god, and start and he go in there, fuck the big three, it's just big me. Like, that don't feel like you taking this a little personal, bro. Like,
yeah,
and
maybe we all done something where we like we jumped out there and then we thought about like, well, you know, it ain't mean we scared. It just mean we just ain't, you know, that ain't where I want to go.
You're an adult, man. Yeah. You're an adult. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Like,
what you feeling today, you didn't feel like yesterday. You know what I mean? You be like, once you think about it, you might have jumped out there, but once you think about it, it's like, you know, that ain't what I wanted to do. You know
and
what
that's
mean?
All I'm saying. Two things can be true. Though. You can move contrary to hip hop and maintain your peace, and maybe those two things don't align. And that's the choice that he made. He chose his own life. He chose his peace. He chose maybe the friendships with those guys over the rules of the game. But also, like, what are the rules? Like, when we talk about hip-hop, what are the rules of the game? Is it like the meanest nigga wins? Is that, like, how it works?
Yeah, nah, but I wanted to say something about the whole
thing. I think
thing.
It's the loudest.
If K-Dot came out like that, like, I feel like J. Cole... He already lost his friendship because the nigga attacked. If he that kind of dude, he already attacked him. Then he that kind of dude. He just ain't gonna be no friendship. If he seemed like that kind of dude, you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
He might well just came back, because if he trying to keep the friendship, I feel like
I'm gonna be real. I agree with you, because I don't think Kendrick liked these niggas as much as these niggas seem to like Kendrick. I think y'all want to be his friend, and he don't give a fuck about y'all. And I think that's the important.
Remember the Jay-Z and Nas joint, and then Jay-Z came back with the rubbers on your on the baby seat or something like that in a response, and his mom was like, "Yo, that's too much." Yeah, and it was like it was too much, and then Jay even said it, even in his book, he was like, "Yeah, that was a little too much," and then he just pulled back from it. He was like, "Man, yeah, you know, his mom came to him and said, man, that you took it a little too far with it." You know what I mean? And
but you know what though. We reduced that Jay-Z diss to them two songs. I was actually like reviewing like kind of like the disses overall. So I'm listening to like No Vaseline. I'm listening to Dollars and Cents. I'm listening to all that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jay-Z was talking about Nas in a bunch of songs. He was talking about fucking his baby mother in like six songs.
A lot of songs. But when he put rubbers on the baby seat and stuff, and his mom hit him. And it's in the book. Read the book. It's in the book. And he was like, yeah. He realized, he was like, it's too much. You know, because you could get caught into it, man, with this rap thing. That's something I used to do, you know. You get caught into it. I had the little flip and the tip joint. I had Jason them came down there. They was with me.
And even T.I. and Luda. T.I. and Luda, too.
I know that one. But listen, flip and with the tip joint. Tip came out birthday bash. She came on the stage. We was backstage. Everything. I had J. Hill. They had came down from it to Atlanta. And we was on the stage. So they pulled up and... Tip came on the stage in his prison, you know, like little orange suit type situation. And he was calling out Flip, this, that, and the other. And everybody was like, who are you talking about? And he said it was Flip. You feel what I'm saying? But then them cats got to fighting, you know, going. He went out to Texas, out to Houston. They fighting in the street. It went too far.
And Tip had a couple friends get killed around the time of that beef, too. I think it's Matt Fallant, who used to own the restaurant. They came into the restaurant and shot the Joan up and killed him.
The problem was, and then they brought Scarface in, and Face was like, and then Tip was like, how you feel about him saying he the king of this, that, and the other? And then Flip was like, how you feel about it? Scarface, look, I'm certified. I ain't in it. You know what I mean? I'm certified who I am. You feel me? But it got crazy where they was really fighting in the street. So sometimes people get in something and then they pull out of it. They just want to pull out of it. It is what it is. You feel what I'm saying? It looks like he's scared, or he don't want that smoke. Hey. But sometimes he don't want that route, you know?
Yeah.
Don't want to go that route. You think
and
about
that's it. His, that's his choice. He got a wife and kids. He don't want to do all that foolishness, and he entitled to that. Yeah,
I think it hurts him, though. I think this hurts him, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think I don't know if it hurts the legacy overall, but certainly
it won't hurt Billboard. It won't hurt the Billboard.
Nah,
I don't think.
But I'm talking about. You know.
With
niggas,
I think it hurts. I think it hurts the legacy.
Niggas,
I agree.
Credibility. Yeah, credibility.
Yeah,
his verses are still tight. His verses are still tight.
But not the Billboard rankings. But not the Billboard rankings.
No, I probably won't.
Which matter, because if they didn't, if the sales didn't matter, niggas would make this music and put it on SoundCloud. Niggas would make this music and put it on.
Some niggas do that. Some niggas do that.
All them little, some niggas do, but not these niggas you talking about.
Yeah.
Kendrick sold 30 million records. He care about the sales too. If he come out and the album don't move no units and it don't sell nothing, it matters to him. It might not matter to you, but it matters to these niggas you talking about.
They on top of the game. That's different.
Because you listen, you looking at it as a fan, and then I'm looking at it as a two different things.
No, I'm looking at it as hip-hop. Hip-hop.
You looking at hip-hop. How is that?
Okay. I mean, there are a lot of artists that don't worry about it being. Sorry, go ahead.
It's cute.
No, go ahead, go ahead. I'll wrap this right up.
No, I'm saying there's a lot of artists that don't care nothing about hip hop. Like Cardi B is one. She give a bad ass about hip hop. She makes music that's it. That's all she care about. So it's very difficult to maintain the this is hip hop because like it don't really mean nothing no more, man. Like it just doesn't. It doesn't. It don't mean it. Like it's ever strange. Since like this is Nelly and KRS-One was beefing, it ain't really mean nothing. Like it don't. Unfortunately, it don't.
Yeah.
But people squash beef all the time. Cannabis and LL did it.
After he ripped the mic off his arm, right?
I'm just saying.
That's a classic. Hey, that's gonna be the next week's topic. Top hip hop beefs of all time. There you go, right there.
Ice Cube versus NWA.
No Vaseline. God damn, this time I set it off.
All right. It's been a great show. Let's wrap this thing up, man. Thank you, Mia, for joining.
Thank you, Mia.
It definitely was a little controversial, but we enjoyed it. We enjoyed the battle, the contrarian.
I like it.
Appreciate you guys having me. Truly.
Go ahead.
Let's do the real shit or bullshit. Let's do real shit or bullshit.
One last thing. He got.
I thought you
I know Kevin got to go to bed.
I thought that was real shit.
I'm gonna make it quick.
All right, what is it? Go ahead.
It wasn't Darius. All right, so I know. The Masters is this week, right? The Masters. Yeah. And Tiger Woods trying to regain glory.
Don't bet against.
I don't know if y'all heard it. Yeah, I don't know if can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard Tiger Woods just recently announced to the media. He said in order to focus and get on the track, he's going to stop having sex to get ready for the Masters.
Yeah, he did.
Now this is the age-old question. You hear that all the time, you know, when you don't have sex before a big game, you know what I'm saying?
The fighters fight, too, Before they fight, they can't have sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I looked up on Harvard. They did a study on it. They said it's no proof to it. Is this real shit or bullshit? Having sex throws your game off. Is that real shit or bullshit? What y'all think? Is Tiger Woods bullshit, on some man. Bullshit? And look, and one more thing on that. For Tiger Woods to come out and say that motherfucker's a freak. That nigga a freak, ain't he?
I mean, clearly he is.
For him to come out and say that.
I wasn't ready for this.
I mean, in boxing.
They adamant about that.
In boxing, they adamant about that. Like, nah.
They are in boxing.
Yeah. I heard that. Like, when you in a fight, nah. You know,
take your legs out.
Yeah, take your legs out. So I don't know. I mean, how many of y'all done had some cush and then went to the court and balled out after that?
Every day.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know.
Loop it up. Boy, never mind.
I ain't even going back to them days.
I'm not really in the mood to go do anything else.
Our coaches used to tell us that in college too, though.
For real?
Not that
second. What did you play in college?
I played at West Virginia.
Okay. What did you play?
Soccer and lacrosse. What sport? Soccer and lacrosse.
Okay.
Soccer and lacrosse. All right.
So how did he say that? He says, "Ladies, don't you know, just
don't
relax tonight.
Just relax tonight. That's what they would tell you. Okay. It take your legs out. That's what they would tell you. I don't think that's true. But I think it depends. It depends on what you're doing. For me, I've done both, and I just don't see the difference personally.
Yeah,
I think it's bullshit. Yeah, I think we all think it's bullshit.
I'm gonna go with bullshit.
I think it's old making up bullshit. Excuses. Yeah,
excuses.
Nah, well, he know he ain't gonna. Exactly.
Light blood, you've been quiet. I mean,
he not even gonna make. Yeah.
What you mean?
He always getting hurt anyway.
I think
every game.
I think it matters who you are, though. I think it matters who you are.
Record one game, say not.
Because Patrick Beverly came out and said he don't have sex before games, and niggas was like, you only average four points.
Yeah, facts. Facts.
You might as well. have sex.
Facts.
You might as well.
I'm pretty sure Bron is getting cheeks before them games. Bron wife flying out for that, so that's ridiculous. I don't believe it.
That's funny.
I don't think Dennis Rodman listened to that. I don't think he listened to that.
Oh hell no! At halftime, he getting buns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what y'all? Wait a minute. So what a Tiger win the Masters? What y'all got to say then?
That don't mean he wasn't getting no cheese though. Nick's lie.
Well, he got a whole lot of shit to say. He win the Masters on one leg.
No, he win the Masters. That mean he right. That mean it's
dude, awesome. If he win the Masters, a lot of other shit went way right or way left. That mean he right for
him. And I don't even that would be interesting if he won the Masters.
Even if he won, I don't believe it.
He was just lucky.
That would give him some credibility. That'll give him some credibility if he won the Masters.
I don't believe he did, because he's gonna be behind on Saturday. He's gonna be like, Alabama can barely walk 18 holes.
He's not winning the Masters. So.
He's not gonna make it all 4 days. He always get hurt. So
whatever, man. Right. Listen. Saturday he gonna be down. Saturday night he gonna get some cheeks, and Sunday he gonna win. He'll be like, this strategy ain't working.
He gonna give up, huh? He gonna make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, call.
I'm coming, baby. I gotta go. I'm married and it's late. Good night, y'all.
All right. Good night. Thank you for joining. All right, let's wrap this up. That was a good segment, man. That's kind of funny,
though.
Good.
It was good. I like that.
It was interesting. Hey, y'all watch. So you gonna put some money on Tiger to win? How much money you gonna bet on Tiger? I ain't gonna bet on that.
Better $100.
There you go, better $100. All right, $100. It's been a good show.
So who's the asshole of the night? I think who got the asshole of the night? I think it was
probably Sean. Yeah,
Sean.
Sean.
Sean is the asshole of the night.
Oh, you was petty. You was a petty son of a gun. You sat there and threw all that bullshit. Fake
asshole of the night. Show.
Bullshit. How you throw shit. You should have put asshole of the night on that joke.
I was gonna do that, I ain't know which way to write it though. So that shit confusing, man.
You said what? It was a good show though.
All right. On that note, close this out, B. Close this out, B. Give me your last comments, B.
Damn, yo, this shit hard, man.
Hey, listen, I can't respond because he bring it up. I can't respond. He bring it up. But it was a good show tonight, man. A lot of my boy Street General, go back with me, man. Street shit. Back
he
in
the one who said they need to buy Pep some buzz.
Yeah, right. That's my man. We 100. We locked in. We've been locked in for about 20 years. You know what I mean? On some real. My man Jeff from Nova Scotia, he was tuning in, man. We appreciate you every week, brother. Tuning in up there, man. Classmate, man.
Gotta be cold. Good Lord.
Yeah. We had a couple people tune in. We had Weezy Dorsey. Me and him go back since elementary school. You know what I mean? Good people. But yeah, man, I want to thank y'all again. I love this crew. I'd rather not do it with anyone else. I mean, these are my brothers. This is my family right here. You know what I mean?
You landed on real.
Listen. But I mean,
it's getting too squishy. You're being too squishy.
Let me say this. I got to say this, man. I just had a friend that died. Talked to him 2 days ago, and he passed. So I mean, you know, I appreciate this right now, and I appreciate these guys, and I appreciate everybody that tune in, check us out, and like I said, catch us on the next one, God willing. Yeah, you know what it is, B-Zell.
Thanks for making us feel bad, B. We're talking about you.
Go ahead, JL.
Oh, Mia said she want to come in studio.
Bring it.
That's the best.
Tell us she on the waiting list. She on the waiting list.
It cost $100 to get in. I don't have a soliloquy or a soapbox like that, but I just want to say, I just wanted to say, man, I was good working with you fellas tonight, man. As always, J.O., Talk Your Shit Podcast, lifeblood of this podcast, because, you know, we can never forget that. And I see you fellas next week, or some of y'all fellas, because, yeah.
Right. Hey, Mia can't come. Grab time. You see her. You see, she got a curfew. She had to leave. She can't come to the studio.
We gotta do the mock grab before y'all niggas leave, though. For real, we don't do that
curfew shit.
Yeah, we need
to. All right, go ahead, O. Go ahead, O.
It's O. Thanks everybody who showed up in the comments. Appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate that.
Salute to my dudes. Yeah, Jeff Cusack way ahead of the list.
Jeff on the list, Canada.
He in Nova Scotia.
When he coming to Nova Scotia? Hey, we need to take this show to Nova Scotia, man. That's what I think.
man, that's all right.
I do that shit.
There you go.
I like
Cusack.
Yo, I don't really had nothing. Thanks again, fellas, for you know treat me like the special guest I always am. salute everybody like tuning in. Special shout out to my wife. She tuned in, gave a comment.
So now you gotta go too?
I didn't say hold on.
Curfew time.
Yeah. I know y'all ain't talking. Hold on.
Hey, we ain't gonna
do it. Really?
Nah,
they scored out now.
I get all of this.
Wrap it up.
I don't know who the you talking to. You got $100 then, nigga. Yeah.
I bet $100 you gotta get off in the next 5 minutes.
I bet I don't.
All right, go ahead, Kev. Go ahead, Kev.
He hit the top. He just texted me and said, I bet you better.
There you go.
Wait.
Get your ass in.
Huh? As always, it's fun.
His wife texting you.
It's always fun. Ooh. Be easy.
Yay. Okay.
All right. It's been a great show. Y'all have a good one. See y'all soon.
So
draft in two weeks.
Draft in 2 weeks.
We need to do the mock joint like
mock joint next week.
Studio all next right. week in 2 weeks. Which one is it? Y'all let me know.
We'll let you know.
All right, bet it up.
Should we do that? What? Okay.
Next Friday, nigga. Next Friday.
Okay. Never mind. All right.
Nope.
He said,
"All right." That's what's going to be.